friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
I'm picking up a sense right now that I shouldn't make a big deal about this loss. 216-474-0092. That this was expected. I shouldn't be that upset. And I'm going, man, there's a... Like, Lima does not give a bleep. You don't seem to care. And I'm like, man, they're professionals. Like, if I can't get mad at them for...
Well, that's fine. They're
You know what?
Okay, the league is full of professionals, but you don't look at... When you look at other teams around the NFL and you see a team that's double-digit underdogs going on the road and they get housed, like, you don't sit there and go, oh, is there all sorts of... It's like, no, we expected that. But we expected that. And so, here in Cleveland, I know you gave up... You gave the pump-up speech this week. Got everybody.
You wanted me to. You told me to do it.
I know.
And it was all for a show. I admitted it before and after.
And by the way, was Kevin Stefanski able to give any kind of a rah-rah speech before the game? And I know it's football. It's not going to be determined who gave the better speeches before the game. But in the end, I mean, let's be honest. You knew they were going to lose.
I knew they were probably going to lose.
Yeah, you knew.
I wasn't surprised by it.
You knew they were probably going to get blown out.
But Anthony,
got blown out. There is a massive talent advantage with Baltimore over us. That wasn't the case with Cincinnati. In fact, I think now we've seen Cincinnati twice, and we'll talk about the Joe Burrow thing. We have all week to do that. But in the end, like this is what this year was always going to be about, seeing a bunch of rookies, seeing young guys, and trying to figure out when it makes sense to hand the reins over to either Dylan Gabriel or Shador. And even in that case, you're going to be big underdogs all year.
I understand that. I totally see where you're coming from there.
Like, I'm not going to lie about how I thought this season would go.
Did you also
make people think we had more of a shot than we did.
Did you believe that the highest paid player on our defense was going to be saying bleeps embarrassing in after the week two game? Did you see that one coming there, Nostradamus?
It's a little early, but is it shocking? I don't think it's shocking.
Go ahead.
It's embarrassing. And we got to be better on defense. We got to be better as a team. And slowly chipped away. You know, we did a solid job, holding at the three when we could. And then eventually the dam broke, and then they just did whatever they wanted. And we have to continue to play a 60-minute game.
You can't tell me you're not a little bit surprised that the defensive end said bleeps embarrassing after the game.
Wait, the same guy that for a week and a half told everybody how bad of a situation the football team is and the fact that it looks hopeless. I mean, I'm supposed to be shocked and stunned that in week two when they get blown out on the road.
Did he lie to you that it was embarrassing, though? It is. It's not embarrassing? Do you believe it's not embarrassing? Losing 41-17.
Yeah, sure. Getting blown out sucks. It's always embarrassing, but it's the least surprising thing that happened in the NFL over the weekend.
So what I'm telling you is that if we were in another city, I would say what this is, what they've done, it's not working. You know what? Maybe I wouldn't. Maybe I would just fall in line with everybody else and say, Andrew Berry's really good. Kevin Stefanski's really good. The coaching staff, even though somehow the guy that picks the players that aren't as good as the other team, like not even in the same stratosphere as a competitive team, somehow that guy is really, really good. And the guy who coaches him, no, I couldn't do it. I would look at this and go, this is an untenable situation. And either during the season, they're going to get rid of these guys, or after the season, they're going to get rid of these guys. But you could see it right now. Like, this can't be sustainable. You cannot carry this in. It's week two. I can't carry this into 2026, guys. I'm sorry. There's nothing else that can be done. So I hope I'm proven wrong. I hope that the young guys come to fruition and there's no changes that need to be made.
But wait a second, you said it.
Like, this is not sustainable. This is not, I mean, look at the apathy within your fan base. I mean, you're the one who keeps bringing up the empty seats and everything like that. You're going to run that back in 2026. No, wait, you're going to put them in charge for 2026 as well? Like, I'm sorry, you can't do it because I can't make an argument for them. What's my argument? These are people I like. I like them. What argument can I make? There's plenty of people who I like that where you've run its course. It's run its course. It's come to its end. What argument? Give me an argument I can make to tell everybody that this is going to be okay going into 2026.
Because
all this is, if it's the NFL shaved gel, Edge NFL shaved gel yearbook, all it's called is the formality right now.
Yeah, I mean, they went into last year, right, with us all understanding by looking at all the bloated contracts, the veterans, but then also what they were going to try to do and pivot with bringing in, and they might have brought in a lot of talented players in the draft. I mean, Fan looks good. Mason Graham looks good. You know, it's the start of a new era of the Browns, but you're in this weird purgatory of, I don't know, purgatory is not the right word.
And who's caused the purgatory?
You're just in a weird spot where you've got two different timelines because you've got this old and aging offensive line. You got a 40-some-year-old quarterback.
Yeah.
This wasn't even the quarterback they really wanted. It was supposed to be Kenny Pickett, most likely, but then he injures the hamstring, so he's not really a competition.
Which I got to tell you, I go back to what you said, and I don't even disagree with you on it, but if they really like Kenny Pickett that bad, then they should have just held on to Kenny Pickett. They should have just really rolled in with four and should have held on to Kenny. I mean, I'm serious. If we were planning on saving everything and saving jobs, quote-unquote, why do they even get rid of Kenny Pickett for a fifth-round pick? Like, yeah, I know their currency, and it's going to be a nice fifth-round pick probably for somebody else to use next year that isn't going to be these guys. Because right now, we are putting ourselves in a position to make arguments for QBs that we know are not ready to play yet. We know it. Guys, you know that. Like, I had a bunch of people, Kenny, it's time. I had a guy I was going back and forth with, and I was trying to be respectful about it, and I just had to tell him, I go, buddy, you're frustrated. You're frustrated because you know they're not going to win this game. You know that they're not competitive with this team, and they weren't in the second half. They really weren't even in the first half. Just the dam hadn't caved in yet. And they're not competitive with this team, and they're not going to be competitive with this team. And I don't know when they're ever going to be because we got to get that figured out with the biggest position possible, and that's down the line. So we're frustrated, and so we just want something we can cling to because this guy's at the end of his career. Joe is. And he's had a fine career. I have a lot of respect for him, but whatever. And you want to put in somebody new, and you're going to get even worse results. So now we're just waiting to put guys in, or we want to get excited for something that we know. Guys, you know it in the back of your mind. You know it. If they were to go ahead and they were to start him coming up on Sunday, you know you're going to be shaken. You're going to go, oh, my God. By the third quarter, it's going to look like he's not ready to play whatsoever, and why did they ever draft him? And it would just be another thing for us to argue about a guy who's probably going to be gone at the end of the year anyway. Talking about Andrew. Like, this is just untenable. There's no other way around it, Anthony.
Well, and then what you can't have your special teams look like one of the worst units in the league, because that will make these games even look so much worse. And, I mean, your punter was limping through the rest of the game.
Because he got bashed.
Hey, at least the kicker actually made his kicks, which is a lot better than what we saw in week one.
Great.
But your coverage is terrible on special teams. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
And those are the things we don't spend all week talking about because, yeah, let's be honest, we don't really know how to talk about special teams other than hoping you have the right punter and kicker. But when it comes to coverages, man, you're supposed to trust your... There's no reason why any team in the NFL can't have good special teams coverage. That's coaching. Like, that is at the heart of coaching. It's not like certain teams have this massive talent advantage in coverage units. And when you look at how we have covered in the first two games of the year, that is coaching, and that's the one thing. Like, if you're asking me what could you do, I mean, you could give Bubba Ventrone the pink slip, like, right now. I know that'll look hollow, like, oh, the Browns are 0-2, they fired their special teams coach.
It's like firing a hitting coach.
But is that not one area of a team that a different special teams coach could come in and help out a lot?
Yeah, I mean, I would totally agree with you on that, but it just seems like we are just on this slog to January already where things are going to go poorly. Because now you're telling me, like, again, and I don't disagree with you with what you're telling me here, that Dylan isn't ready to go in against Green Bay. But, I mean, good God. I mean, we're talking about us not even having anything to keep up with teams that are on this schedule right now, just coming up here in the first month of the season. And I've had the same group in charge here really for 6 years, and we've done that. No, it's come to an end. And so the only thing I would think of is that you're going to play out the string for this year. Hopefully, you know, Mason Graham and Carson Schlesinger and Quinshon Judkins. And that's another thing that made me feel a little bit worse. And I'll tell you that here in a second. You know, the Mason Graham and those guys, they end up playing well. And that we have something to put around a young quarterback that's going to make us feel better. Because then I'm going to have a lump in my throat because that guy's going to start week one next year. And he's in college right now, whoever that guy may be. And I started feeling worse about Quinshon Judkins because I thought they used him a little bit more. Now, the fourth quarter, there was garbage time. Mm-hmm. But I felt that they were using him a little bit more than anything we had talked about in the pregame. It's like, you get less than a handful of carries. Just get the wind up going a little bit. It's like, no, they're using him out of the backfield. And they're because they don't have anybody.
I was going to say.
Because they don't have anybody.
Like, Ross Tucker could not believe, knowing the NFL the way he does, that a guy that was not at training camp could, in week two, become your bell cow running back.
Because they ain't got
That's unheard of in the NFL.
Because they ain't got nothing else. And that's how little of talent they have on their offense right now. So they're going to use Quinshon Judkins, who is exactly what you just said, is coming in basically off the street as a second-round pick and is going to get the bulk of the carries and is now going to be the bulk of the offense because they ain't got nothing else. And whose fault is that, Anthony? It's the general manager's fault. It's the general manager's fault. There is nothing at all that gives me confidence moving forward. I hope and pray that it's different in the future this season. There's nothing that tells me it's going to be. So I have to continue to be strident about this so everybody gets the message that this can't be continued unless they actually go out there and they earn it and they start winning some football games. But I don't know how they're going to do it. They have one-third of a football team that could win football games. Unless Denzel Ward's actually hurt and it wasn't just cramps. Did we get a clarification from Kevin yesterday?
That'd be a disaster.
It said cramps yesterday in the postgame.
Yeah, so if Denzel's hurt,
by the way,
then I start to have to retract that statement. But you have one-third of a football team that can win right now. They ain't going to win. Not in the NFL. Yes.
Was it the hottest day on record yesterday, apparently, in Baltimore?
Honestly, I don't.
Well, it was the hottest 80-degree day.
When it comes to that, I'm not trying to make you look bad. I just don't touch that stuff because I don't know the science behind it.
Well,
so
I don't care.
I'm not gonna.
You make me look bad all you want, but when your offensive lineman that you're depending on has to leave the game because it's too hot and it was like 75 and sunny, that doesn't bode well.
I don't know what the conditioning situation is. I'm not sure. I know he lost a bunch of weight. I have no idea. And I obviously the league is sensitive to that for things that happened when you and I were younger. So I'm just gonna hope that they're able to get him conditioned and ready to go. Because I don't want it. I thought he might be hurt. I didn't. I was like, man, he wasn't playing bad.
Yeah, we were wondering.
I had my eyes on him the whole time. I was like, watch. I write it down. I go 94, 79, and then fill in the blanks as you go throughout the week about watching other guys. That's honestly how I do it. And I'm watching him and go, why did he come out? I didn't think he was bad. Is he hurt? God, tell me he's not hurt. And then we found out about the heat. So am I wrong to care as much as I'm caring? Was it really not that big a deal to you to lose to Baltimore? Because Lima's like, nah, 0-2. And he's looking, I mean, we're all kind of expecting 0-3 here shortly.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Basket of Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Browns lost yesterday, in case you didn't know. 41-17. I like to start Mondays off like this, Jeff. How were the callers immediately after the game?
It's some fired up folks last night on the postgame show.
Who are they pointing the finger at the most?
You name it.
I heard a lot
Kevin. A lot of wide receivers, a lot of offensive line.
Hey, our kicker looked pretty good yesterday, didn't he?
Kicker didn't miss.
Man, I tell you.
See what happens? Man. Show faith, Andy. Gotta believe.
That had to be 5 days of just pure, you know what, for him. 6 days of.
Well, think about this. That kid went out and, you know, first kick was a 38 yarder at the end of the half. You miss. Hi, you're unemployed.
Yeah, really was.
If he would have missed that kick, they probably would be looking for a new kicker this week.
It was interesting that when the Browns crossed midfield and were in that like weird territory where you might punt or you might go for it, I felt like Kevin had the let's go for it feeling. Just and then you ask yourself, well, are you going for it because you think this is an opportunity to try to get some points, or are you going for it because you don't trust your kicker? You know, and every time, so there's a second guess for that.
Hard to argue.
He would have to go a couple weeks without missing one before people will forget about the first game, and they're still not going to forget about the first game. They're going to blame him for the loss. Well, so,
if you like Atlanta's kicker, he's probably available because his replacement went 5 for 5 last night.
Ah. Give me your initial thoughts on the game yesterday, Jeff.
The defense played well again. I know they put up 41 points, and that looks like the defense just really stunk. The defense had some moments that weren't great, but overall I thought the defense showed that they will be able to keep you in some football games as long as the offense doesn't turn the ball over. It didn't help that Denzel Ward was out with whatever it is Denzel was out with. I want to wait and hear what Kevin Stefanski has to say. If cramping kept your Pro Bowl corner out the entire game, it's a little much, isn't it?
Didn't we have this conversation 3 weeks ago about all those high school kids
pickle
that were cramping? Pickle juice. Come on, man.
Well, but doesn't this smell of something more? Let's just be honest about that.
It is weird because
smell of something more.
Players who cramp normally find their way back on the field.
Well,
at some
if you're
point,
out in the first half, you're in the locker room getting an IV.
Yeah,
you're getting more fluids.
Maybe, or just fluids.
And then you're back out on the football field. The defensive backfield was shredded yesterday. That was not good. And remember, you're already down MJ Emerson.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, you were down MJ and Denzel Ward. Your backup corners didn't do a good job. Greg Newsome, just fine. You know, Greg had some moments where, like, DeAndre Hopkins beat him. Okay, well, that'll happen. But
yeah, the one touchdown, it was all over him. I thought it was a great point.
About this, Andy, you didn't add when MJ Emerson went down. You didn't really make any kind of moves to go get another corner. You know,
fiscally tied to making the kind of move you want to make, though?
Well, that's a possibility because going back to the Deshaun Watson thing, I've screamed about wide receivers for years, and I don't think this team has very good wide receivers. Well, they didn't really add anybody. If your answer is Isaiah Bond and hope that, you know, he gets cleared and everything and he's good to go, well, that's not an answer. And your offensive line, though we liked it several years ago, has been injured and doesn't get any younger. So there are big trouble spots that didn't really receive a whole lot of attention. So what do you expect?
I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I go back and look at yesterday's game and say, okay, they had a shot. 21 points that they gave up of the 41 were directly related to the offense's ineptness or a pick six or, short fields. You got to go 5 yards. A special teams gaffe again yesterday. The special teams on this, like every week, it's like you got to hold your breath on every play. It shouldn't be that way. There are teams that have to go through weeks where their special teams just do their job. No one's asking for special teams to do anything crazy. Just do your job. And again, special teams, this is 2 weeks in a row. You can't have, we almost lost our punter yesterday. Do your job. Do your job. I can't say it enough. Special teams is extremely irritating right now. And I get it. There are guys on special teams that, especially the rookies, that probably haven't played special teams in years. It's a challenge sometimes.
The kicking got cleaned up, but you had a punt blocked.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks in a row, the special teams let you down.
You don't have that many plays to be special, and we're not even asking you to be special. We're asking you to be normal. Just make a play. It's all you got to do. No one's asking for a run back even. We're not asking for 60-yard field goals. We're asking for at least the kicking got cleaned up. You're right, except for the punt. And you have one of the best punters in the league. Can we protect him, please?
I agree with that.
Can we protect this guy?
Occasionally, teams block punts, but just add it to the list. You know, the week before you had trouble with the kicking game. This week you had trouble with the punting game because you had a punt blocked.
You go back and look at three series. The defense didn't deserve to. When people go back and look at this game, how the Browns give up 41 points? 2-play drive, 4-play drive, 3-play drive, all within 24 yards of the end zone. Let's not forget the defense. I mean, and by the way, if those plays don't happen, and I know where you're going, Butch Davis, on me on this, but if those plays don't happen, what are you looking at? You're looking at a 20, 21, 14, or 17 loss.
Well, but those.
Maybe. I mean,
that's a different than a Butch Davis thing, though, because the offense put the defense in bad situations.
Yeah.
That's.
But you're also saying if a guy, if the defense just makes one play here, you know what I'm saying? That's why I'm trying to be a little realistic about it.
And you want it to be worse?
No, I don't. Not really, but go ahead. Make it worse.
The touchdown the Browns scored to Cedric Tillman?
Yeah. Oh, should have been interception.
It was an interception all day long. All day.
Oh,
I mean, in and out of the hands. And then into the hands of Cedric Tillman.
And I know we're having a logical conversation about this, but this conversation is going to turn. And the question is why is Joe Flacco out there in the first place if we're going to have games like this? You know, I said right away, beginning of the season, I want Joe Flacco to start. I want Joe Flacco to start. I still think,
Joe.
It's not Joe. And Joe did throw that one interception. It was horrible.
That was bad.
Horrible. I mean, David Njoku had two guys on him, and he tried to force it. And I'm like, what is he doing?
Ross Tucker on the broadcast was all over him for it.
It was a horrible throw. He's right. Yeah. I caught the part. I missed a little of what he said, but he alluded to the fact that he's been in the league long enough. You got to know better than to throw that pass. And Joe knows better.
You want to go big picture here? I hate to go this big picture.
Everyone is going to do it, Jeff. So go ahead.
The minute that they traded out of 2, it screamed that their quarterback is coming in next year's draft. So it didn't matter that Kenny Pickett was here. It didn't matter that Joe Flacco was here. It didn't, I don't think, matter that they drafted Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. The minute they drafted out of 2, or it traded out of 2, it screamed, we're getting a quarterback in next year's draft. And don't be surprised at this point if Deshaun Watson plays football here this year.
Yeah, you're not the first person to say that to me. Who's going to replace Joe Flacco? And someone said to me,
Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson.
You saw the video of his workouts. He's moving pretty well.
Daryl said the same thing to me yesterday. We were doing Brownie Bites right after the game. And I was like, I've thought about it because I've talked about this return on investment over and over and over and over again. And now you sit here and you're like,
you ready, Andy?
Yeah.
I'd like to see him. I'd like to see him.
Who's up next? That's the question. I don't think he's ready to come off the injured list, though, right?
No, but when he is.
Do they have to wait at least 4 weeks before they can take him off? I don't know.
I think so. When he is, I'm sorry. I'd like to see him.
It's a Browns Therapy Monday. We have plenty more to talk about that, but we're going to sprinkle in and get some of your phone calls here because we know what you want to talk about. Let's go to Al. Al in Parma Heights. Hi, Al.
Hello, Al.
Hey, guys, excuse me. I'm just having breakfast at McDonald's.
Oh, congratulations.
You caught me off guard.
Good Sorry. Plug.
Look, I don't blame Flacco for this. There is systemic breakdowns all over the offense and defense. I think you both would agree. Now,
I got to be honest with you. I'm not mad at the defense today. I don't know how you can be.
Defense
they gave
well
you a chance to win the game. I mean, legitimately, they should have held them to under 20 points. And you can blame the other 21 on the offense for giving them a field where they had to go 20 yards or less. That's ridiculous.
Okay, but we can cite all these things. But we need a new coach. Let's be honest about it. And now, what I saw, though, in Baltimore was a disgrace that the NFL allowed to put that jerk Modell on the Jumbotron. Hey, 30 years since we got your team.
I hear you, Al. Thank you for the phone call. Look, none of us want to see Art Modell on the screen, but you have to understand that you know, whether he packed his bags and moved and just couldn't have manned up and tried to work out something with Mike White in the city. Mike White should have manned up at the time, too. So he moved the team. They're gone 30 years. I'm saying it now because I'm tired of what happened. Last week was, I mean, I just think it was, I'm still, like the Ravens, it was just poor. It was poor. It was tacky. But, you know, I thought CBS did a pretty good job. They didn't make that big of a deal of it. Although I didn't see the beginning of the game on TV. Did they do a gigantic open for 30 years or anything? I didn't see. I listened to the first quarter.
I didn't pay enough attention to tell you.
Okay.
Look, I understand that. And I do think it was tacky. I also understand the scheduling. We have a team. We've had a team for 25 years. Let's worry about our team.
Yeah, our offense has been pathetic. I mean, we can't get to 20 points. What was it, December of last year? The first week of December is the last time we were over 20 points. So we got to worry about ourselves now. That game's over. Baltimore can do whatever they want for the rest of the year. We don't have to see them nor smell them for the rest of the year until they come here.
Wow.
We don't have to go there. So that's over. Let it go and try to figure out what's next for this team. And unfortunately, I think that it's going to be time to move forward with another quarterback. But I don't know. The question is when? When are they going to do it?
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
The show is back, and so are the same old Browns. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin on a beautiful weather-wise Monday here in Cleveland. That open, courtesy of CBS, Guardians TV, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, and Mac Robinson on the board.
Yes.
Also, we got Double A, the Anthony Allant to you and me, the milkman. He's delivering some piping hot producing work today, and Jake Volnick, Big Weege on the 2020s all day long, leading up to Monday Night Football tonight. Buccaneers and Texans. If only the Browns were some way tangentially related to that game, where Browns fans who maybe didn't like what they saw yesterday could have an outlet tonight, watching somebody who used to be affiliated with the Browns do very well on Monday Night Football. Unfortunately, that's not the case. Hi, JP.
Well, sad thing about that is I was in my head. I'm like, are you talking about Baker Mayfield or are you talking about Nick Chubb?
Yeah. Yes. Ooh, yeah. I know. You could really like just slip into like Netherworld or like into a parallel universe tonight and just act like they're still on the Browns.
Or we can just make a bit of just only rooting for 2018 Browns, 2019 Browns. It was sadly that we're referring to that as the good years, but those were the good years.
Well, the thing I like about this is you can just ignore the ones who either aren't playing or aren't playing well. And just really focus in on the guys, really make it 100% painful, which is what I would describe yesterday. I not to soapbox it this early in the show. I think it's really wild how certain media members just blew past the whole, hey, what did you think about yesterday's game? What emotions did you feel? And we're right to, well, we knew they were going to be bad, as if we knew they were going to get their asses spanked 41-17. We knew they had a chance to lose and lose big. I'm going to go ahead and say none of us expected 41-17.
Well, I mean, I think we were cautioning people all week long that that was more than an opportunity to have that type of game happen.
24-point loss? I think there's a difference between, hey, in the wheel of possibilities is going to happen, and then the Browns basically, like, listen, the Ravens played a pretty flawless game yesterday. I'm still going to put that loss on the Browns as opposed to the Ravens were just that much better than you because you turned the ball over multiple times and had multiple miscues.
Yeah, but the Ravens are one of the best teams in the NFL. They have one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Like, there's a lot going for Baltimore that if you wanted to make some sort of case that Baltimore is the creme de la creme of the league and you just happen to take on one of the best teams in the NFL, then yeah, like that's an okay case to make.
I would say you're probably giving the Browns a pass for yesterday.
That's not what I'm doing, but it was more the idea that like last week, there were many people that were saying the game had a way of going the way that it did.
Mm-hmm. And well, okay, wait. So you're talking about the end result. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Screw that. That was embarrassing.
It can still be embarrassing. I think the hard part for the people, and I think there's just a lot of people that, and even some people that were giving very low win totals all off season, I think it was hard because you get excited and you get excited about what happened against Cincinnati. And it just, I mean, that game hit you, it hit you in the face.
Well, no, because let's be honest about what that game has traditionally represented in Cleveland. It represents the end. It's so funny. We like kind of laughed. Brent Sobolewski, a buddy of mine, Bleacher Report, used to be on the show at night all the time with me. We've had him on here periodically. After week one, he's like, well, this game represents the death of competitiveness for the Browns. And it was like, what game did you watch?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, no, it was four fluke plays that cost them a game that they should have won. There was nothing fluky about what happened on Sunday, but yet it still might represent the death of competitiveness, because now I need to see this team come back from this. Like, you laid down like a dog in the second half. The margin was pretty close in the first half, and then every imaginable error that could happen in the second half did. Now I'm wondering, can we even, like, that competitive bubble, right, that every team has to start the season.
Yeah.
Did you just burst that in one absolute ass-kicking in the second half? Because I don't know that we should expect them to suddenly bounce back to the Cincinnati form after the way they laid down in the second half.
Yeah, the second half was so bad. I mean, it's kind of like, do I expect Grant Delpit to come out this week and continue his trend of just talking all sorts of smack? Probably not. That probably goes and it just gets tucked away for a little bit. Like, yeah, it was a really bad loss for a lot of reasons.
It's so funny. I think a lot of people have hit apathy. Right, they've bypassed anger, they've bypassed embarrassment, and they're all the way to apathy in the name of, well, I didn't think they were going to be any good in the first place. I still stand by it that I would like this team to be the most competitive 4-13 team in the NFL. That's not just a bit. That is reality.
Yeah, but that was not a competitive game.
No, and I think that's like the sooner that you're getting to non-competitive games, the harder it is to defend a lot of what's going on in Berea.
Well, I think that's what today signals for a lot of people. I've never seen so many people turn on Stefanski as quick as they have. The approval rating for Stefanski, I've said it before, but I mean, this has got to be as low as it possibly can get. He's now lost 8 straight games, Nick. Hey, forget the idea that they're now 3-16 in their last 19. They've lost 8 straight games. It's been 8 straight. We've gone into a Sunday thinking, okay, let's see if they can get a W, and they haven't.
And this felt a hell of a lot more like the last 6 games of last year than it did week 2 of the NFL season. Maybe mm-hmm. that's what upsets me about this, is that this kind of shellacking came in week 2. And this kind of, like, there are teams out there that can get shellacked like this, and a week later they bounce back. I mean, Miami bounced back to another loss, but they didn't get the crap kicked out of them.
They were competitive. They were competitive
the way they did in week 1.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're kind of in that Miami New Orleans territory of, if you get one of these at the wrong time, this can go from 6-11 to 2-15 really, really quickly. That's what yesterday felt like. The second half of that game felt like quicksand. And I will tell you, I had no problem with this locker room bleep talking all the way up to this game. I really, and to this point, I think that's why you lost 41-17?
No.
No. You made a lot of errors, and they capitalized on every error that you made.
Mm-hmm.
But do I object to you talking that kind of smack and then laying down like a dead dog in the second half? Yeah, that was embarrassing. And listen, I know nobody in that locker room cared about the 30-year anniversary. All right, this is the game you can't roll over and die in. And I understand that they are human beings. I really want to understand that these dudes are going out there and fighting for their professional lives. Can you just not embarrass us? Can I get one of those? Like, in this game, with this context, you don't have to care about the 30th anniversary. You don't have to deal with my hatred of the Baltimore Ravens, what a classless jackass organization that is. You don't have to say it. But if you're going to talk a big game going into it, the second that the you-know-what hits the fan, could you not lay down and die? Like, there is, like, that there's an element of this. Like, when this happens 6 weeks from now, I will not come in here screaming my head off. It's week 2, for the love of God. It's week 2.
Yeah.
And you got punched in the mouth one too many times. And Joe Flacco turned into bad Joe Flacco. And Maybe we should get like a fan for DeJuan Jones on the sideline because he had some heat issues.
It's 75 and sunny. He's got heat issues.
I mean, in fairness, the glare off the Ravens scoreboard must have been taking it out on him. I mean, we got Denzel with cramps. We got just basic mistakes. Apparently, we can't develop a nickel corner to save our life. No one can catch a pass. Nobody can hit a block. Like, what in the hell was that? Because I'll tell you,
yeah,
not all losses or not all double-digit losses are the same. And I have no problem with losing double digits to Baltimore. I do have a massive problem with you laying down and dying because, I don't know, you were full of crap last week when you talked all that mess.
Yeah, maybe they did too much talking before the game. Jerry Jeudy coming out doing the double birds. Myles Garrett on CBS the day of the game talking about how embarrassing it is, essentially, for the idea that Vegas would even have a 12.5-point spread on that game. Maybe they just did too much talking before this game, Nick. I don't know. They got themselves really amped up, really excited, and then by the third quarter, it just felt like they had nothing left.
But doesn't that feel like what I find to be some of the hollowness of the experience over the last 5 years is that this organization has never lacked the ability to talk crap, but there's something about them that the louder they talk, the more screwed they are. Like a fair amount of NFL teams, the louder they talk, it's because there's real confidence there.
Yeah.
But under Stefanski, the louder they talk in that locker room, the result always ends up being the worst version of something in what it can be. And the point is...
It's like the moment they talk crap, it's just like Uno reverse cards, and then all of a sudden just turns into the opposite of what they're going for.
And I had the thought last week of like, ooh. But I was like, no, you know what?
What was that ooh? What ooh?
No, that ooh of, should we really be talking about this because of the history of this?
Okay.
But I was like, it's a different team. You can't hold this team accountable for the past 5 years. There are guys who've been here. I think they are legitimately frustrated with the way they're perceived. But if you're really that frustrated with everyone thinking you're going to have the number one pick next year, do you lay down the first chance you get to be hit in the face? Like, you no longer have the right to be outraged that people say you're crap because the tail of the tape is you're crap.
Well, we got a lot of guys on this team that have been through these type of scenarios before. I mean, think about it. It's Miles. It's Denzel. Denzel had an issue in that game as well. It's Njoku. We got a lot of these guys that have gone through these wars with Stefanski, and they all end the same way.
216-474-0092. Darryl Ryder coming up at 3:20 today. Quick Hits coming up at 3:40. A loaded weekend and a fascinating week, a great week around the NFL. Another fascinating week in college football as well. Oh, we got Nathan Zagura at 5:20 here. We'll talk with Nathan about why that game got out of hand and where the defense goes from here, where the offense goes from here, and what will dictate a change at quarterback. Because we do have to talk about going to Dylan Gabriel late in this game. We need to talk about completely the nothingness of the Browns offense. We need to talk about Joe Flacco and his many boo-boos, special teams boo-boos, late defensive boo-boos. There were so many boo-boos, but so little time. But we do have 5 hours. 216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Jake Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. I thought a lot of people bypassed anger today and went straight to apathy. I've only gotten angrier about this loss the deeper into the day we've gotten, because at all points it just came into, no, they gave up. And it's a little early in week two for me, JP, to just be like, well, they give up and that's fine.
Did they give up or were they just out-talented by a lot? That's what I wonder. Like we mentioned Denzel Ward not being in play. Cam Mitchell allowed three of those touchdowns to Lamar Jackson. Lamar just started picking on him, and I'm sorry, no disrespect to Cam Mitchell. You're not that good at football. Like, it just is what, that's your reality. And so, like,
I'm glad you didn't mean disrespect to Cam Mitchell.
a lot of this game to me was just them being out. They had just way too much talent on Baltimore's side of the equation. It's not even laying down and dying. It's just a bunch of mistakes by the Browns obviously doesn't help, but they outgained the Ravens as far as yardage was concerned. There were things they did all right. It's just, there's too much talent on Baltimore's side. And when Lamar knows where to pick on you and how to pick on you, he's going to do it. And he did that with Cam Mitchell. He did that with Miles Harden.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.